All right. Well, good morning. Go ahead and take your Bibles. The book of Ruth. We'll continue our series as we're working through the book of Ruth. And boy, I'm excited about Pastor's announcement there. You know, for the last month or so, 2 months now, I guess, we've had to imagine all of you in this place. And that's been a very difficult thing to do. But we've been ever praying for this time that we can start to get back together. And that's an exciting thing for sure. Happy Mother's Day to our mothers out there. And Pastor, and I know Pastor Jeremy, a little bit later today, we'll be talking some about that. And an exciting time to celebrate the mothers that are in our lives. Ruth chapter 3. And I want to sort of jump back in at where we finished off last time around. Now, if you were here a couple weeks ago, we looked at this theme of resting well. We talked about how everybody needs spiritual rest. There comes a point where we need to rest spiritually, and we need to know how to do that. We looked at the comparisons in the book of Ruth, how two very special ladies by the name of Ruth and Naomi were seeking rest. They had been through a very difficult time, and they were trying to get to that place where they could experience some rest for their soul and their emotions, all of those things combined. And this word rest appears several times in this small book. It's a little bit of a theme that runs throughout. But last time around, we looked at the fact that rest is possible, and I hope that you found that in your own life. We also studied the fact that rest is wrapped up in a person. Spiritual rest is not possible outside of Jesus Christ. And we looked at that. We talked about it. Of course, for these ladies, it was represented in Boaz and this kinsman redeemer. And many times we like to refer to Boaz in the book of Ruth as sort of a picture or a type of Christ. And so we can see the comparisons there. So rest is possible. Rest is wrapped up in a person. We looked at the fact that rest must be pursued. You know, if you've noticed, you know, we are not naturally trusting individuals. We are not naturally individuals in ourselves who place our burdens upon the Lord. We have to work at that. We like to try to figure out how we can come up with the plan and figure it out. And sometimes that thought process can easily turn into worry. Before long, we're in an unrestful position. And so rest must be pursued. We need to continue to pursue spiritual rest in the Lord. And then fourth of all, we saw that rest is promised. And Boaz makes a statement here in the end of the passage we looked at a couple weeks ago where he says, you know, I will perform the work of the nearest of kin, the kinsman redeemer. However, if your nearest of kin says he will do it, then he will do it. So he's making a promise here that no matter what happens, you will have rest. And certainly for the Christian, whether or not we experience true spiritual rest in this life, certainly we have a promise of the future to come as we ever are looking forward to eternity with the Lord. So that being said, let's sort of now move down into our new passage today. And you're in Ruth chapter 3. Notice with me verse 14 where we pick up where we left off. Ruth 3:14, it says, "And she lay at his feet until the morning. She rose up before one could know another. And he said, let it not be known that a woman came into the floor. Verse 15, also he said, bring the veil that thou hast upon thee and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley and laid it on her, and she went into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, who art thou, my daughter? And she told her all that the man had done to her. And she said, these 6 measures of barley gave he me, for he said to me, go not empty unto thy mother-in-law. Then said she, sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. And notice these words, for the man will not be in rest until he hath finished the thing today." I want us to notice in contrast to the lesson that we looked at a couple of weeks ago of finding rest, I want us to notice a biblical characteristic that we find something of perseverance in the Christian life. And that is represented here through the avenue of Boaz. When it is said of him that he will not rest. Lord, I pray that you would help our Bible study this morning. Lord, would you illuminate our thinking and our mind? Lord, help us to lay aside anything that would distract us away from what you would have us to learn. Father, I pray that you would help us to set aside, Lord, our pride and put on a cloak of humility as, Lord, we truly ask you the question, what would you have for us today? Lord, I pray that you would work in this Sunday school hour and that Lord, we would see you in high and lifted up. We love you and ask these things in your precious name. Amen. You know, there is a need, probably more so than ever, I believe, to see and examine a biblical method of manhood from the eyes of Scripture. I'm sure you've noticed that we're living in a day where the lines of gender have been blurred. And there's no doubt that Satan has done his best to undermine the distinctions which God has established in creating a man and a woman. We have a void in our society today in the area of distinction. What does being a man mean? What does being a woman mean? Sometimes we may even feel pressure that we can't answer that question because we're afraid of being labeled as some gender inequality individual. Parents could once take perhaps refuge in the fact that society provided an appropriate example of fundamental lines concerning gender. But that is no longer the case. Christians must work twice as hard today. Parents should work twice as hard today in order to teach God's plan for gender and shun the world's perverse example. If there ever has been a need to understand clearly from God's word some of the characteristics that make up a godly man and a godly woman, it is this day. As we look at the book of Ruth, we notice some wonderful examples of godly men and women. And even though this book carries the title of a woman, we notice that there are some key elements for us to understand about godly men as well from the life of Boaz. Now, I clearly understand that today is Mother's Day. And I don't know why this passage fell to us right here on Mother's Day. The only thing that I can think is ladies, this is going to help you because it's going to help the men in your life. Okay. And so maybe by that, it's going to help you. Okay. That's the only way that I can see it. But we're going to focus just a little bit on the fellas here in Sunday school and look at some key things concerning the life of Boaz and his perseverance and hopefully take away some key thoughts for today. I find it interesting that, you know, as Boaz here, living at the time of the judges, for an individual who would have been looking for a godly role model, I think it would have been a little bit challenging for Boaz. Of course, the book of Judges, in so many ways, categorized a struggle, a spiritual struggle in the life of God's people. Even so much to the point that even some of the judges that were raised up to do the work of God and to point in the direction of right, some of them were not the most godly individuals. Certainly some of the men, you know, we think about Samson. We think about the testimony of other people that were maybe watching him as a leader that God had appointed. I wonder if perhaps Boaz had the opportunity to know Samson or even see his example. And for me, that makes the testimony of Boaz all the more special. Because we understand that the times that he was living in were challenging, to say the least. So I want us to look at this, and I want us to look at this idea of perseverance. The Bible does speak about it. Galatians 6 and verse 9 says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not." Ephesians 6 and verse 18, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto, with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." As we examine this passage, I want us to notice three weights that Boaz could have been held back by and could have affected his character. Notice with me, number one, if you will, we're going to notice from verse 12 and 13 that he chose not to find rest, even with the potential of disappointment in his life. Look at verse 12 and 13. We touched on this just barely and briefly last time around. But notice, and he says in verse 12, "And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman, howbeit there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night, it shall be in the morning, that if he will perform unto thee the part of the kinsman well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the kinsman's part to thee, then will I do the part of the kinsman unto thee, as the Lord liveth. Lie down until the morning. We find here that Boaz is categorized as a man who would not find rest even with the potential of disappointment in his life. Now, no one likes disappointment. No one likes to be faced with obstacles in their life. And sometimes the potential for obstacles keep people from even getting started in the first place. You know, I've met some pretty weary sports fans who have not had a winning season. And I may or may not be speaking of myself when I say this, but people who have even considered just throwing their hands up and not following the team anymore. That for sure is something that many of us can relate with without going into too much detail there. No denying, though, Boaz was facing some disappointment that could have caused him to not even begin the job. I think it's important for us today to teach our children that there's something to be said for a stick-to-itiveness. There's something to be said for persevering, for setting a goal and working through the obstacles and persevering through it. Boaz was a man who exemplified that in the face of disappointment. In fact, the definition of perseverance, we could say that perseverance is doing something despite difficulty or delay in achieving success. The very definition of perseverance entails disappointment. I love this quote by Theodore Roosevelt. I'm sure you've heard it before. This is from The Man in the Arena. And I love these words. Listen to these. It is not the critic who counts. Not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there's no effort without error and shortcoming, but who does actually strive to do the deeds. Who knows great enthusiasm, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who never know victory nor defeat. Well, you know, that's not scripture, but there's a scriptural principle to that for sure. Better to fail while daring greatly. I love that. And Boaz was that kind of individual. Ruth and Naomi knew him as an individual that would not rest until the task had been accomplished. I see this in a couple of ways. Notice his purity of living. Verse 13, if you'll go back, he tells Ruth here. He says, "Tarry this night; it shall be in the morning." If he will perform unto thee the part of the kinsman, let him do the part of the kinsman. But if he will not do the part of the kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of the kinsman to thee. As the Lord liveth, lie down here until the morning. We see here a great illustration of Boaz's perseverance in his purity of living. You know, we in our modern day thinking, we look at a situation like this where Ruth goes in, lays herself at his feet, and we have this thing with the skirt and the covering, and we look at it and we can't quite wrap our minds around it because we weren't a part of this culture, but this is purely a cultural event that would have been 100% appropriate in this day and time. But surely we can understand that if Boaz in himself would have had any inkling of immoral thinking in his mind, he perhaps could have taken advantage of a situation here. But that's not the type of individual that Boaz is. He's the type of individual that whether people are watching or not, he's going to persevere in his purity. And certainly the implication for us today is that whether we are by ourselves or where we are with other people, purity must be a part of our lives as godly men, as godly ladies. The Lord would have us to have a purity of life. James chapter 1 verse 12 says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Now, this past week, my wife and I celebrated 9 years of marriage. And we probably have never had quite an anniversary celebration like we did this past Thursday, much because we couldn't really leave the house. So we sort of formulated a plan, and we had gotten a gift card, so we decided to go get takeout from somewhere, and I sat the kids down, and I said, all right, this is how this is going to work, okay? Now, Mommy and Daddy, we're going to have an anniversary date, okay? It does not include you, all right? So here are the guidelines. When it comes time for dinner, I'm going to go get takeout. We're going to come back at 6 o'clock. We are no longer your parents. Okay? And in fact, we're going to go down into the basement. We're going to eat our meal. We're going to put on a movie and enjoy the time together. All right? You are by no means to open the door and come down for anything. Now, if there is an emergency, obviously you need to do that. So we went over some guidelines there. We actually made a schedule. I said, all right, this is what you're going to do from this time to that time. And we even said, okay, you're going to have your own devotions. You're going to put yourself in bed. A lot of confidence in them. And so we charted it out for them. We said, all right, go ahead. So they didn't know, of course, that I was going to be periodically checking in on them. And they actually did pretty well. We got about a whole 5 minutes into 6 o'clock, and one of the children yelled down the stairs, the movie is not working, and had to work through that emergency. But overall, it went very well. And once we got close to about 8 o'clock, I thought, all right, let's just hold activities here in the basement, and I'm going to creep upstairs to see if they are following the schedule. Now, again, please keep in mind that we have a 6-year-old and an 8-year-old. And, you know, I had decent expectations, but understanding their age and all of that, considering, I wasn't quite sure what I would find when I went upstairs. So I heard some footsteps around 7:58, and I began walking up the stairs, and I stood at the top of the stairs and just barely down the hall where their room was. I could hear them having a conversation, and it's 7:59. It's 7:59. We've got to get in bed. We got to do it. And at 7:59, they closed the door, and I didn't open it to see if they were in bed. I can only assume, boys. They went in bed. So I believe. But you know what? That was an encouragement to me, and I don't know that I necessarily expected that, but the point is, if there was an opportunity there and they wanted to take advantage, they certainly could have. Boaz was not that type of individual. He was not looking for some promiscuous situation that would maybe occur between him and this young lady. He was an individual that was persevering in his purity of life. We need men today who have that type of character. Let's go ahead and notice the second thing as we move quickly through this passage. And I want us to see this, that not only do we see that Boaz, as a godly man here, he was persevering in some things. He would not rest, even with the potential of disappointment, him not being the closest kinsman. But we also, number two, that even though someone else would get the credit, I want you to see this, and this is one of the most fascinating things to me, and so much respect for Boaz. But would you look with me at chapter 4, and I want us to see verses 5 and 6. This is fascinating. Notice what the Bible says. Ruth 4, verses 5 and 6. Then said Boaz, he's speaking to the nearest of kin. He's gone and approached him now to see if he can actually now marry Ruth. Then said Boaz, what day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. Verse 6, and the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. Go with me to verse 9 and 10 now. verse 9, it says, "And Boaz said unto the elders and unto the people, ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's." Okay, remember, this is now Naomi's husband. Okay, bought all that was Elimelech's and was Chilion's and Mahlon's. Okay, this was Naomi's husband at the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, had purchased to be the wife to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. And furthermore, okay, what's happening here is legally Boaz, firstborn, his firstborn son, should they get married, would not even be associated with Boaz. Now, I want you to think about this for a second, because this firstborn son would be an honor to the dead husband and would carry his name and association. One of the most exciting things to me when we had our firstborn, finding out it was a boy, was the realization that I was going to get the opportunity to pass down my name to him. I think about, and I'm very thankful for the testimony that my dad and my grandfather had for the Lord. Both very spiritual, both very godly men. Men who I believe worked to keep the Devane name clean. And I'm appreciative of that. I'm thankful for that. Because when my grandfather handed off his name to my dad, and when my dad handed off his name to me, I understood that I was being handed something that I wanted to work very diligently at keeping clean. And when I found out that our firstborn was going to be a boy, there was just something exciting about that moment to know that, and yet very sobering. I'm going to take this name that I've been given, and now I'm going to pass it off. Boy, what a responsibility. And yet, we're talking about a situation here where Boaz would not know that. That amount of pride that would be maybe associated to a father passing on a name to a son, he's not going to know that. He's not going to receive the credit in that way. And this is where I have to look at Boaz and I say, wow, what a man of character. Even though someone else would get the credit in this situation, he would continue on. Sometimes we hear people perhaps talk about a man's ego. It's so funny because this came up this past week, and my wife was having a conversation with somebody this past week, not associated with our church at all, but they were talking about how they need to make their young boy the hero in every situation. You know, I kind of need to nurture that ego as he grows up and make sure he knows that, well, he is a hero. You know, that sounds really good, but the reality is that's not biblical. And why is that? Well, because we don't need to be at a point where we're always accepting the credit for something that's done. You know, in fact, the Bible gives us plenty to say in that regard. Notice this, Proverbs 11, 17 and 18 says, "The merciful man does good for his own soul, for he who is cruel troubles his own flesh. The wicked man does deceptive work, but he who sows righteousness will have a sure reward." Proverbs 20 and verse 6, "Let every man proclaim his own greatness, but a faithful man who can find?" You know, for the godly man, the reward is not getting the credit. It's simply doing right that is reward in itself. And the book of Proverbs talks about that. Are we individuals who always need to be recognized? Are we always in need of the credit in every situation? I love Boaz's example here. He was, even in the face of disappointment, willing to persevere in the task. He was not only that, but he was willing to not be receiving of the credit as well. Notice our third thing as we look at this passage, and I want us to go to Ruth 4 and verse 1. I want you to see what's happening here. And this is the third thing. And even though it required a narrowing of Boaz's priorities, Look at what it says in 4:1. Then went Boaz up to the gate and sat him down there. And behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, and to whom he said, "Ho, such an one, turn aside, sit down here." And he turned aside and sat down. Okay, so Boaz now is acting upon what he's already told Ruth. He says, "Okay, I am going to make sure this happens." And the very next day, he rings true to the perseverance that Naomi and Ruth both knew that he would have, and he goes directly to the gate. I imagine he got up with some excitement in himself and said, I want to get there early so I can meet this nearest of kin and begin to find out if he is going to perform the rite or if that rite's going to be passed on to me. And he's a man of many priorities, a man of many responsibilities. We could go back through the chapters that we have come through up to this point. We could see all the different facets that Boaz has his hand in. He is obviously a mighty man of wealth. He had many resources. The Bible says that he had more than one field. He's got fields and fields. He's got people under him. He's got servants. He's got employees. He's got people that he is tending to. No doubt, Boaz was a very busy man. We see he takes time for people, and we live in a day, and we certainly have been given priorities and responsibilities by the Lord, and these things bring together all the facets of our lives. But sometimes we have to balance our priorities. Sometimes we have a narrowing of our priorities that needs to take place. And that's exactly what you see taking place here. Boaz is turning his attention from all of his stuff, and he's now going to focus on his family. You know, there are some people that do a great job at persevering in one area of their life. You know what I'm talking about? Maybe they're a hard worker, and when it comes to labor, boy, they are the first one up in the morning, and they are the last one to go to sleep. You know, that is a very commendable thing. And in fact, I pray the Lord continues to help me to teach my boys the value of hard work. And certainly there's a point where we need to provide for our families, and this is one of the ways that we do that is by working. But I need to make sure that I'm not just persevering in the area of labor and ignoring other essential things. You know, Boaz here knew when his priorities were shifting. And that's a godly man. He notices that now, okay, you know what? I need to turn my priorities to that of my family. You know, I don't much like change too much. I like an established schedule, which the past 2 months has been anything but that, right? You yourself have been, you say, wow, we've been through a really changing time the past few months. And I'm not too akin to enjoying change when it happens. But sometimes our priorities do change. Sometimes our priorities do need to change. Sometimes maybe there's a financial need, and so you move that perseverance and get the job done attitude to maybe this facet. Maybe it's a financial need. Maybe it's a health need where you say, okay, this is a season of my life where I need to focus on my health or the health of a loved one or the health of my family and really persevere in that way. But maybe it's a family need or a relationship need as well that now, okay, I see that there's a relationship need here that I need to persevere in and continue to work on until the task is met. Boaz is showing us that he is a balanced individual, and he's narrowing now his priorities to a place that they need to be. When he made his way to the city gates, he was shifting his focus toward meeting the needs of that of his families. Now, I would venture to say that there'd be very few people who have come to the end of their lives and said, I wish that I have worked harder or worked longer. But I fear that there would be many that would come to the end of their lives and confess that they wish they would have had made more of their family. And I'm not saying this because I have mastered this by any stretch. This is something that perhaps we all need to consider and we need to work on. But the Lord has given us some priorities regarding our family. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, the Lord commanded husbands to dwell according to knowledge with their wives. And certainly that could go for our children as well, knowing the needs that they have, knowing the things that need to be addressed. I wonder if we could ask ourselves this question: What do we communicate about our perseverance to our family? Is it selective? Well, when it comes to labor, perseverance is all there. I wonder what my kids would say about my perseverance and my directing thereto. Boaz here has a great balance that I think it'd be good for all of us to strive for. We see a powerful focus from Boaz, but we also see a powerful selflessness. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3 says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, each esteem other better than themselves." We see a narrowing of priorities. And I love this because we see the same example from our Savior. Listen to Philippians 2, verses 7 through 9. "But made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name." We even see Jesus Christ, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, who sets aside his heavenly crown to come to be born so that we could have life more abundantly. We see a narrowing of priorities from Boaz. In conclusion today, there was a man by the name of Arthur Irving. He spent a lifetime studying greatness, writing novelized biographies of great men, such as maybe Michelangelo, Vincent van Gogh, and a long list of many others. He was once asked if he had found a thread that runs throughout the lives of all of these exceptional people. And he said this: "I write about people who sometimes in their life have a vision or dream of something that should be accomplished. And then they go to work. They are beaten over the head, knocked down, vilified, and for years maybe get nowhere. But every time they're knocked down, they stand back up. You cannot destroy these kinds of people. At the end of their lives, they've accomplished some modest part of what they set out to do." Boaz would not rest until he had accomplished that which was of the Lord. Every man who aspires to be a godly individual must exhibit the same perseverance in his life. Boaz was a man who would not rest till that which was of the Lord was accomplished. And I wonder if we have the same type of perseverance. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the challenge of the life of Boaz. Lord, we understand that he was just a man. We understand, Father, that he had good days and he had bad days. But Lord, he showed off, Lord, and you've recorded for us, Lord, a persevering example. Lord, I know there are areas in my life where perhaps I need to be more balanced. Lord, would you help me with that? Lord, I pray that you'd be with our people. I pray that you'd be with our teenage, Lord, guys, as they learn the value of persevering. Lord, give them wisdom, Lord, to see those priorities that need to be persevered in. Lord, give our men, Father, our leaders of our homes, Lord, I pray that you would give them a spiritual vision, Lord, for their families, Lord, for the priorities that need to be persevered in. And Father, may we have an attitude of that like Boaz that says, "I will not rest until that which is accomplished, which is of you, Lord, is completed. Lord, we love you. We ask that you would speak to our hearts in the morning service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.